We're now going to hear from Owen on IFRS 7.
As we said, our colleague Isabella is not here today, unfortunately, so I will be covering this presentation for her. So please bear with me if I'm not completely on the ball on all of the elements. So essentially, what we have done is some initial analysis to do with financial instruments and to work out a plan of attack, which we'll explain to you as we go through. The background to this is that we've received feedback, both from yourselves and from the wider world, that tagging disclosures relating to IFRS 7 is quite complex and seems to require a lot of entity-specific elements. So what we've done is some high-level analysis of the extensions created in the foreign private issuers reporting, basically to confirm that, yes, there are a lot of extensions related to financial instruments and in the financial sector, and, yes, this is a sensible thing for us to be looking at. And we're proposing to start more detailed analysis. Essentially, we've just looked at that initial analysis to figure out the right areas to go and the right way to cut the problem, to try and get some access. And we'd like your feedback and suggestions both on that initial analysis and the direction you think we should go with further work. So I'm going to give you some brief background on why we're looking at financial instruments, a quick high-level analysis of what we found in the foreign private issuers reporting, and a bit of a description of the finance sector and which bits of that we're planning on looking at and why. Why is it a good time to look at financial instruments? Largely because IFRS 9 has became effective in 2018, so we now have some real data based on that, and you know, we're not waiting for a massive change in the standard, so it's the right time to look. Partly because you and many others have told us we should look at it, and as we say, when we look at it, it's entirely correct, there is quite a lot of extension in this area, we believe. The main feedback we received was that there's a lot of interrelated information in the financial instrument disclosures. It's quite complicated to tag it. It's difficult to model consistently. And that the presentation structure of the IFRS taxonomy as we have it doesn't really fit that well with reporting practice. The IFRS 7, we've organised things largely by the type of information. The companies commonly present them by the type of instrument, so they have a bit of difficulty finding the element. So we're not surprised that the tagging is a bit... There's a lot of extensions, partly because we have high-level principles that from the standard that have come into essentially just text blocks, and there's not a lot of detailed tagging support in the taxonomy itself at the moment, so people are forced to make most of the extension themselves. How did we look at this? We looked at the initially at this stage, we've just looked at the monetary line items created by the foreign private issuers in their 2018 filings. We haven't looked at the axes and the members that they've used to do that. It's just a very initial look so far. One of the things we intend to do next is to start looking into the way the dimensional usage that's been done in this reporting and see how that feeds into things. And essentially what we've done is manually group the elements that people have created by a combination of searching, filtering and eyeball into different categories of financial instrument and disclosure type to try and have a high-level analysis of where we think the main areas to look at are, or at least the places to start. So, just to confirm the opinion of everyone that that there is a lot of extension in financial instruments, first of all, on the one hand, finance clearly has the highest level of extension usage in terms of sectors of reporting. And also, across the sectors, we feel that about 20% of the extensions that we tags that we see relate to financial instruments in one way or another. So it seems like a very sensible place to look at trying to find some additional common reporting to extend the taxonomy. Digging into it a little bit more and looking at a sort of per company level, so typically how many extensions do people create, it's obvious that finance again sticks out as being quite a lot more extensions than any of the other industries. being used, and also that the red section, which is the financial instruments, is quite a significant chunk of most people's extensions, so we might be able to address quite a lot of issues by looking at the sector and this issue. It's also notable that finance is even more obviously a little bit different, which is fits with your sort of naive assumption that, you know, the financial industry's relationship to financial instruments is different than everyone else's relationship to them. It's their stock in trade, and they are likely to have slightly different disclosures and different relationships, and likely to, you know, reasonably complicated financial institutions are likely to have to disclose a lot of things across all the areas, whereas other industries, it might be only one or two things that bite. For that reason, our gut feel is to analyse the extensions for the finance sector separately from the others, because we think they might be qualitatively different, and we might get confused bouncing between the two options if we try and put them together. We group the disclosures related to financial instruments into essentially six high-level categories, trying to look to see if there are areas that were worth starting to look at first and getting to grips with. That's reconciliation, hedging, impairment, maturity, sensitivity, and fair value. Looking at that, reconciliation, hedging, and impairment seem to be fairly large areas with lots of complicated extensions in. The others are also, but less so. So those seem to be the right place to start to look at. You'll see there's a large chunk of other categories. That's because obviously sorting things into what area they're about based on the random string that some extent personally used in their extension tag is not an exact science. So we sort of stopped when it stopped being easy and when the picture started to emerge. We propose to start more detailed analysis of the extensions related to those three sectors on the left. Initially, thinking that's where essentially the returns will be the easiest and the best. So, first questions, does that sort of fit with your experience? Do you have any particular feelings about what areas are most complex to tag and analyse? Which areas require the most extensions? Are there other particular issues you'd like to look at? For example, tagging errors. And do you feel that the next step proposals are about right, looking at a few of those areas in detail and look at the finance sector separately makes sense?
So let's start with question one first. Dirk, would you like to begin?
Yeah, so in general, we support this, or we can actually did a similar analysis and we came almost complete same results. So I think this is very straightforward. The only thing is, of course, we have to be careful, as 2008 is IFRS 39. Yeah, so we have now the first IFRS 9 introduction disclosures, but the full scope of IFRS 9 we'll see in 2019, and there we would expect more harmonization, standardization, and less extensions as all disclosures were rediscussed as part of the IFRS 9, IFRS 7 project. So that would be the general assumption, but in general, it's absolutely, we can totally support that this is an area where we need more analysis on common practice elements.
Ashok?
Based on very small sample, six client, I think, capital risk and market risk, very difficult to tag. And those two area, highest extensions, that's where I found, because lack of, you know, the tags, and also interpretation. And I guess probably it was the first year of filing, so people have not really understood the taxonomy itself. So combination of this factor, but these two areas really had highest, you know, the struggle, I think, both capital and market risk.
Gee. So, I'm wondering that what is we expected to the different type of the tags, different tags. Because if you focus on all different name, those kind of the tag must be extended. But this is a little bit different. But in Japan, we have some kind of the common tags in the taxonomy. That is, we use this common tag for financial instruments because each tag is different. But because of this, because they are the different financial instruments, so it's happened. But if it's really we want to the use of those name of the financial instruments of the tags, the company have to extend it. So that how we expected to use of data, if just only we want to distinguish of the differences, maybe we don't need to create all of tags. Just you can prepare some kind of the box of each.
Yeah, so one possibility may well be when we look at it that a lot of those extensions we could put common practice in, and then you could just use the, you know, if we see the same kind of things coming up over and over again, common practice
one,
will eliminate
two.
A lot of those.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. One of the things we want to look at are other areas. It may be that by adding some more modelling elements to the taxonomy, we can get rid of some of the others. You know, it will be that kind of analysis. The expectation at the moment is there's not enough in the taxonomy, so people have to do quite a bit of extension. Our hope is a lot of that is reasonably common, and we could be bringing it in to the taxonomy.
Yeah, as users, we discussing in the user side, we don't care about how many extensions, because from second years it's already known tags, so that the whatever we call it, standard or extension, but from second years we know these tags already, so we don't need to worry about the extensions. So
you know that because you have put in your own mapping, you have put some logic in it. If you then again are a new user, first of all, you assume that in fact all users have the sophisticated tools to put all this mapping logic in. And the second is for a new user that all these different users have to build in the mapping logic. So in fact, if you want to say it really has to be more cost-effective access to this information, we need to think about it. So we can't.
The other thing we should say is that even once you've figured out that a particular reporter uses these tags, and so next year you expect them to use them, the same tags, turns out that quite often they don't. The individual reporters' tagging will change over time, and that can be particularly annoying if you put all the effort into figuring out how to match them together. Whereas if you're using a consistent set that the IFRS has provided, those tend to stay stable over time. So
we have to think about how we expect it to use this.
And what we know at the moment is we haven't looked at this in enough detail to see where the problems are and whether we can do something about them.
Ashok?
We would just refer to slide 10, please. So if you just look at the finance, is my understanding that 243 extended tag for other area and 95 specifically for financial instrument?
Yes.
So altogether, in that particular line, 338 extended tag. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Per company.
Is that my interpretation?
That's how I understand the data,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think at this stage, the split between financial instruments and other extensions may not be perfect. Yeah, it's sort of the first pass assessment.
Yeah.
Dirk.
I just wanted to add, because I forgot something to mention about why this is, and to get better understanding. I mean, this is really, I would say, even impact of the financial crisis, because after the financial crisis, we had a lot of regulation in this area, which is not coming from the RSB, but as you know, from BBA, from the ECB or JST, how we call it. So, and this at the end, we have lots of taxonomies in that area created: the EBA taxonomy, CORIP, the FINRA taxonomy. And what is happening in the market is really that you build that up or set this up also in your financials because you want to have a kind of common reporting, and that's why we see now that. Specifically in the very much regulated industry of the banks, we see such high extension rates. And you can also give proof that, for example, that if you compare that with the US GAAP filers, and the US GAAP filers, you don't have so many as we see now in the European base. And this is, once again, an indicator.
Correct. So we'll see leading through,
We still have a high extension rate in this industry.
Yeah.
relative to everybody else.
I think there's a fundamental issue, but it might also be the case, and we mentioned it later on, that there's a bit of bleed through from other regulations going on here.
Kyle.
I spent quite a bit of time supporting organisations with these statements and the tagging. I can say it is a painful and involved activity, and that there's a lot more manpower, skill, manual effort, review that actually goes in, and yet the error rate is still very, very high, in part because there's a lot of custom modelling, a high extension rate. Slide 12, it would be interesting to see a breakdown of that in terms of which IFRS taxonomy was used as a base, because when we look at that filing period, there were two IFRS taxonomies were accepted in the US, and you'll see a lower extension rate with a more recent taxonomy by quite some way. Hopefully where they were taking the prior version of the IFRS taxonomy, they were using concept names that aligned to the newer IFRS taxonomy, but so you'll see some practice around there as well. Keen to input and help as we progress with this.
Thank you. Shall we go to question two? Before we go to question two, John would like to...
Sorry.
This is good.
I've sort of hesitated to raise this because Dirk is in the room, Michal is in the room, but and maybe you already mentioned, maybe you've already got to this, but it does seem as though looking at the other regulations in this area and looking at the disclosures, which are becoming common for lots of financial institutions because of FINRA PORET reporting in particular, Solvency II reporting, would be sensible. But of course, recall that there's different silos and it's different software being used by the financial institutions, one to do this external financial reporting and the other to do the reg reporting. But actually, it's the reg reporting data sets that are of interest, and they've already got them tagged. So there may be some real benefits to having those discussions. But I could be wrong.
Something we will be bearing in mind, yes.
Yeah. Well, you've lived it, Owen, so...
Okay, so regarding the question two, any comments or suggestions on the next step proposals? First of all, that we look a bit more at the axes and members, see if anything comes out of there, and then to the plan to kind of treat the financial sector separately, because it might have its own little issues, or at least we want to be able to compare and contrast carefully, and to focus on those three disclosures initially at least, so we have something tractable to work on and come back to you with. Is that sort of the right approach, or have you got other suggestions?
I just have a comment that there were two reports published by the European Commission, one on the so-called fitness check of supervisor reporting and the other one on the fitness check of the public reporting. Both of them are obviously related and also relate to the comment that John has made earlier. I think that it may be sensible at some point of time to engage maybe with the Commission experts, with the EBA experts in that case, and of course ESMAS at the table, to discuss this notion of FINREP versus IFRS reports, or in other words, use of the capital markets IFRS reports for FINREP purposes and so forth. This has been long going on, and there is a certain energy or opportunity at present after those fitness checks to have at least a little bit of a round table or a discussion with these experts on what the opportunities are in that particular space. So just
it's
cool.
Worth taking note of, but also with the proviso that, again, we are supposed to be international and not taking too much account of jurisdictionally specifics.
Well, that's true, except that, as I think Dirk made the point already, some of these extensions are going to be arising as a result of the way that companies are modelling things internally, mm-hmm. and that flow through to the financial statements. So if that happens to be influenced by Europe, c'est la vie.
It also relates to the use of the IFRS data. The FINREP data is actually quite extensively used in the banking sector for a variety of purposes. The IFRS data as such, although it is available on a in a public way, is used to at least to a lesser extent, at least. So perhaps it makes a little bit of a sense to engage in the dialogue. Other regulators around the world quite often use or extend or reuse the models produced by the European regulators in this space, particularly the models of COREB and the more relevant for this discussion, the model of FINRAP. So I think that it may have an impact beyond the European Union itself. That's from the observations that we see.
Certainly looks like something we should look into.
Mm-hmm. Chi?
Yeah, I think that maybe I can suggest it to collaborate with European regulators, to the ISPs, to naming of this final instrument. Did you recommend it like that? But I think that the IFRS is much more, I think, how can I say, general thing, so that you can't specify or specific on, you can't, how can I say, that implementing that specific financial instrument in your own taxonomy, I guess, that. Because many different type of different countries is using IFRS, and financial regulations is changing different timing with IFRS. So maybe that this part is somehow you will provide some kind of the space for the other regulator can use. Because that's quite difficult to including the another definition that was decided by another the regulation or something.
Our intention would be to reflect the requirements of IFRS standards. We're not, the IFRS taxonomy is not designed to capture the requirements of different regulators, etc. So all regulatory requirements. So we're very much focused upon the IFRS requirements. Having said that, I think it's worth having conversations with regulators around the globe to see where there's potential commonality and making sure that we're modelling things in a way that doesn't cause additional problems for entities that have to report both in under IFRS and under regulatory requirements. So I think that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, so conversation also helpful, maybe helpful. But I think that the timing must be different. That is, we have a similar problems. So some even though the same FSA, sometimes the timing of the regulation cycles is different. In that case, taxonomy is issue prepared by every year. But some other regulations is decided more frequently. So that somehow operational issues also happened. So, but anyway, maybe it's a good idea to communicate with each other. But I think that at the same time, the financial instrument is quite difficult to directly connecting with in the taxonomies.
Yeah, and I think it's not just the European regulations that are worth looking at. It's the sort of the Basel principles that they come from that we may have to at least consider and see how they influence what we do, because they were likely to be influencing how financial institutions in general view themselves.
Donna?
I don't know if John made the point.
John.
Just had a question. How does the Basel III, like any of those recommendations, how do they fit into the whole process, and is there anything in the IFRS standards that require disclosure of regulatory requirements?
There are requirements, and I'm racking my brains here to try and remember exactly what the requirements are, but there are requirements for disclosures around if you're subject to regulatory requirements and providing some detail of that. I think there's some things in IS1 in relation to that. But I can't remember what the specifics are on those.
Got a comment and a question. I think that the issue of which version of requirements was in place, that is IAS 39 or 9 or 7, I think that's going to be quite important, teasing that out. And I just wondered whether you'd given any thought to the text blocks. Are we going to do anything in terms of looking into the text blocks?
You mean generally the text blocks, or?
Well, we've got this ability now, and that's what we've been talking all about all day, about common reporting practice, and we've got this ability to analyse what people do that we haven't had before. So within financial instruments, because of the nature of the disclosures in IFRS 7, I'm just wondering to what extent text blocks get used. I mean, we haven't talked about that yet in what you're proposing, but this last question is about what's going to happen into the future. So my question is, has any thought been given to actually doing any analysis relating to the text blocks that people are providing in relation to IFRS 7?
I don't think so, because I think I read that one of the slides is a monetary line item, so I don't think there has been an analysis of text blocks have been undertaken
so far. But
it does make sense to pick up, I think, alongside looking into the axes and the detail of that more. We can look at the text blocks and see what kind of things are in there. See if there's any common patterns and see if there's any things that look like they ought to be structured disclosures.
Mm-hmm. And that might be something that Christine can help with, because she was talking about that that's what they actually do. They go into the text blocks and they code up what's in the text blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
She may have ideas on that.
Generally, your policy would be like, for instance, when the standard is written, it's quite principle basis abroad. We don't really can think about what would be disclosed. We give a text block. Then, when we look at the common reporting practice, if we find some structure, some additional structure, that could be useful to investors, because, again, you don't want to overstructure either, because then you have an additional cost for the preparer without any benefit. But if that meets that criteria, then we would add it. But if not, we could say, okay, we have never really looked, should we add a lot of common practice text blocks? So it's definitely something to look at as an additional mean of structuring data. Yeah.
Right. Dirk?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, so of course, Pillar 3 disclosure is a very important area, but we would expect that this is really separated from the usual financial, within the financial statements, but market players treat it very differently. Sometimes it's part of the financials, or it's a separate report, but you also have cases where it's integrated, and if it's, of course, not completely separated, it might be fall into the sample, and then it's difficult because there's a lot of disclosures there. And this is just Basel 3, so looking forward Basel 4, and so of course there we see also now changes on that end. It's not so much as Basel 3, but it's of course moving very much right now as there's a lot of changes also in that area.
And I think that's why the question about is there anything in the standard requiring some disclosure of the regulatory requirement? So if there is, it in a sense isn't really common because it's required. And so how does that play into some of these regulatory?
The disclosure requirements that we do have around the nature of the regulatory requirements rather than actually complying with the regulatory requirements themselves. So I think that the issue that Dirk was raising there about potentially us picking up extensions that relate to the regulatory requirements, I think still holds.
Is more textual rather than, because we have some that are numeric.
Yeah.
It's saying disclosure, the capital requirements and kind of their where they fall with those. So we added a number of elements this year around those requirements.
Good. I need to ask whether Bin Lang has anything he'd like to add. Bin Lang, are you still on the line? Would you like to add anything?
No, thanks.
We're going to give you an award for staying power. we're going to take a break now for... we aren't taking a break. We're allowing Owen to continue his presentation.
There's nothing that... Okay, so we're just going to just talk a little bit more about the finance sector and what we're intending to look at in there. There are two things really to note. Partly that we're not completely convinced that the finance sector sample from the FPI's group that we've got the good data on is fully representative. So having analysed it, we can see that the largest number of extensions... tend to use extensions are banks, but banks are also the largest group. Extensions by sort of sector within finance, okay, there's a big difference between insurance banks and the others, which
doesn't surprise most people, I imagine. But actually, one thing that's worth noting is that insurance companies, they don't have to have implied IFRS 9 yet. And in fact, the majority of the insurance companies in the sample we had, which is not that many in the sample anyway, hadn't. So we suggest that looking at those at the moment is a bit pointless, because their disclosures will likely change over the next few years as they start to apply IFRS 9 anyway. So having said that, it looks like to us that it's worth concentrating on banks within the finance sector. And then we kept to the issue that actually there's not that many banks in the sample, and then they're not too bad geographically, but not perfect. But more importantly, there's just not enough of them, that 33 entities, if we're looking, is below the sort of 50 that we say we would take as a normal sample. So we propose to find some more to add to that sample, so we have a more representative sample.
When you say you're going to add, where are you going to these banks?
So there we will fall back on the traditional approach to common practice, which is effectively pseudo-tagging.
Okay.
Things that we find at the annual reports.
Because your opening statement was that these banks or the FPIs are not representative, and I think that's a very true statement. If we're talking about an IFRS world, then those FPIs are special and different.
More importantly, that the once we have come to the finance sector subsample, and particularly once we focused in on banks, then some of the issues with the FPI sample that are okay in larger groups become more of an issue, and we really need to expand that sample, particularly, if nothing else, to have the kind of power to detect common practice. If we have a sort of threshold of 10% for common practice, 10% of 33 is down in sort of three entities, and that means you're quite likely to miss something just by chance, because the difference between 3 and 4 and 2 is too fine.
And if the feedback we're getting from stakeholders is that IFRS 7 has particular challenges and it's difficult and complex, you know, to Kyle's earlier points, that's the situation for the FPIs. It's going to be magnified.
Yeah, for banks, it will be magnified.
For the rest of the
any
companies.
Issues around kind of this is the first time they're trying it and they're working things out will be magnified.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel that we need to expand the sample and also treat it with the appropriate degree of sort of uncertainty and reason.
Dirk?
Yeah, just one question. As you mentioned, is then so you would then take your SCEP filers? I mean they are the only one left.
No, IFRS filers, just not FPI ones.
Yeah, but where you should find them?
So the traditional way of doing the common practice analysis was to actually go out, look at the PDFs, and think how would these have been tagged.
So you would do the tagging?
So we would use them as examples of disclosures and look at the kind of things that show up in those disclosures, essentially, rather than trying to use how people have tagged something.
Because if you look, for example, market cap, it's quite very well represented what you find there, the FPIs, because there are some delistings in the last years, but, I mean, major...
So the FPI sample in general, as was discussed earlier, we think it's fairly reasonable to use for most purposes. I think the issue we've got here is now we're slicing it to slicing, a particularly small slice. Its issues are showing up. We think we should just expand to be a bit more reliable, look at a few more reports, maybe just to sort of cross-check our thoughts on what we find from the analysis of the FPIs where it's easier to do it.
Yeah. Ashok?
Your thinking is perfectly, okay about bank. And one of the things, my observation, why the bank has the highest extension is, in my opinion, and if you compare with the U.S., I don't know, tagging in a both side. In U.S., it's part of continuous note. So where you have very simple table and simple disclosure compared to all European bank, or at least one I have tagged, is outside of continuous note, where you have to put so much disclosure to satisfy your regulator. Therefore, so much, the extensive verbiage, textuals, the tables, and so on and so forth. And that's one of the reasons so many extension in a banking thing, because it's not part of continuous note. It is disclosure somewhere else, so it's not like a continuous note, like a note number one to note, last note, is somewhere else. And so you have to take the entire things. And to apply, And that's where I actually started. When the first, you know, the 6K came, how to tag this, you know, the especially financial instrument, capital risk, market risk, liquidity risk, and applying, you know, the SEC regulation, Edgar filing manual, level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, and those things not even in IFRS taxonomy. And so these are the reason I think is highest, you know, the tagging, because it's not part of continuous note.
Ashok, when you say it's not part of continuous note, do you mean it doesn't have its own note, that it's spread throughout the notes? Is that what you mean?
So if you look at the typical financial statement, you have 5 PFS, and then note number 1, nature of you know, the company, note 2, accounting policy, last note would be subsequent event.
Yep.
This particular part, the entire, you know, the risk part, is not part of any of those continuous notes. It is disclosure somewhere else.
Where's the somewhere else?
Yeah. And
what's the somewhere else? Outside the notes.
Outside the notes, yes. And because it has extensive, you know, the disclosure as required by the local regulator, therefore so many tables, so many verbiage, within the verbiage, so many, you know, the pertinent information like percentage, monetary item, whatever it is. And that's the reason it's really driving the whole extension rate.
So is it being tagged because it is a disclosure in response to IFRS 7, even though it's outside the financial statement notes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay.
Yes. And on top of that one, to apply, what tagging? So you have to apply the regulator's tagging, you know, the criteria, which is in case of SEC, it has very, you know, the specific thing that you shall tag, applying level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. And those tags, to satisfy those four level, IFRS may not have those tags. And that's the reason of extension tag.
Dirk.
Yeah, maybe you can add to that. So that's absolutely right. We're actually talking about the risk report here. Yeah? So, I mean, it's comparable to the item 11 requirements in the US. And what we have seen in the last 10 years on that this is MD&A so far, so the banks had to disclose it in MD&A. Then came IFRS 9, IFRS 7, which said specific risks, specific notes has to come into the financial statements. And then, of course, we had duplicative reports, disclosures. So we had lots of disclosures in the MD&A, lots of in the notes. It was not reconcilable. And what happened is very often a so-called cross-reference is taking place. So you say you have one location in the report where you consolidate all your risk-related or financial instruments-related disclosures, and then you make a cross-reference. And that's how it comes outside of the notes, but with this cross-reference, it becomes part of the financial statements, although it's not located in the financial statements. And that very often, we call it bracketing, where we bracket specific parts of the financial, of the MDA, and this very often confuses, because then, of course, those are very difficult to tag because the taxonomy does not reflect those. Yeah. And these are also not disclosures which are really required by the standard, but it's common practice as it's regulated and it's required as part of the risk report. And that maybe explains further why you see higher extension rates for that. Yeah.
Gene, did you want to add?
Yeah, that's also same as what Ash said. You say that the banks has most of the many extensions, but because bank has a lot of financial instruments, so that result is, how can I say, not so surprising. So what will you do next? I was wondering, because this result is very, you know, that natural. So maybe do you want to decrease number of the extension, or what is the issue of you?
So effectively the aim, I think, is to look at these areas and to see if any of the reason for the high level of extensions in general is because the taxonomy doesn't have enough detail to really be useful in lots of common usage. If there's lots of common usage where additional material in the taxonomy would help that.
Mm-hmm.
It may be the case that that's not the case, there isn't that situation.
But I think we expect that at least some increase in the modelling and the taxonomy will help in some of these areas. And the difficult thing will be to figure out where the right places to do that are, the right line between a sort of generally useful common practice modelling, not straying too far into regulator-specific things, not straying too far into the darkest recesses of entity-specific modelling and trying to cover everything, or deal with particularly, it might be the case of banks are just so complicated, it's not worth going there.
I mean, my suspicion is that there will be areas where we can usefully add things to the taxonomy to reduce the extension rates, but my suspicion is that there will still be a high extension rate for banks simply because of the nature of what they do. It's complicated and we can't cover everything that they do.
But looking at the fact that actually financial instruments and extensions for financial instruments are common across all the sectors in quite high numbers suggests there probably is at least some initial simple modelling that we can do that will help a lot there.
I think it's not only taxonomy issue, this is disclosure issue. Because the current disclosure is useful for the users or not, so that maybe you did a bit better to focus on how users are using this data. So that maybe you can find it next step.
How the users are using and want to use and need to use the data is one of the things we will definitely consider when looking at what things we should model in the taxonomy. And where the sort of the balance between adding things and not adding things lies.
It's not about IF7 or IF9 disclosure, but this from this year's Japanese taxonomy, will including that the top 60 securities that company holding. And then I'm not sure whether this is useful or not, but we can definitely use this data. So this is, I don't know, this can be some kind of the sample view of or not, but there are many ways to describing to the financial instruments, because it's top 60 financial instruments is different of each companies. That is similar issues. But if we can take a data, that is so much helpful for users in type of the tag.
Have you identified which of these extensions are members as opposed to line items?
All of these numbers relate to line items here. We haven't actually looked at the axes and members at all, which is kind of one of the angles we're going to look at next.
Wow.
So this is just on the line items before you get into talking about dimensions.
I was hoping, but it's going to now really blow up.
Yeah. This is before you say, well, they've used line items that are, but with dimensions and members that they've invented as extensions, initial look to make it trackable.
I think what it confirmed really is because we heard that stakeholder feedback and we were not sure, look, is it even worth looking at it? I think from all what we heard today and from what we have seen, yes, it is something worth looking at. I think that is the conclusion we have come to, but not more yet.
Perhaps obvious to worth mentioning, but there are peers in our industry who've looked at financial instrument extensions to national taxonomies that are IFRS-based, who've spent a lot of effort looking at this already. As well as peers like myself have supported multiple banks, I can tell you that there is continue to be a high entity-specific extension rate, but there are some easy wins.
So I hope that we can address the easy ones.
We finished your slide deck. just checking. Okay, we're going to take a break now, and we will reconvene after the break. Don't leave. We still have plenty of fun sessions. We're going to look at supporting materials. We're going to talk about strategy update, and we're going to have our recap and finish up. So, if we reconvene at 3:50, please. Is that too long?
Hello, Luke Roman.
Hey, Luke, how are you going?
Yes, very good. I've been on for a little bit here, but I'll be on for the rest of the meeting.
Okay, thanks for joining us. Did you have anything you wanted to say about the IFRS 7 session that we just did?
mainly, I didn't understand or hear all of it, but there is some, I think it does take or would warrant a quick look from your side as to what's going on, a bit deeper, and then decide whether or not it's worth going, deeper than that. That was my first thought. And then also that the item about should we deal with, there was a question of population of companies you're looking at isn't representative for common practice. I think, so what? It's the right population to look at because it's the information that we have. So that doesn't bother me at all.
Okay. Good point. Good point. Okay, we're just going to take a break now for afternoon tea, Lou. So we'll look forward to your comments again, starting again at as per the agenda at 10 minutes to 4. Okay? Great. Thank you.
Okay.